8 o'clock. Appreciate you joining us. Jim and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Rockies open the season tonight at Arizona, last year's World Series runner-up. So we'll have our predictions coming up in the next segment of who wins each division, who are the wild cards, who's in the World Series, and also win total for the Rockies, which Bakota has them at 59. Mm. The worst team in baseball.
Mm, yeah.
And we'll have our predictions for that, but also our predictions for Rocky's best hitter of the season, best pitcher. So we'll have that coming up later on. So you've got your predictions today. We'd love to see them. You can send them to us on the team line, 970-242-1340. So if you're wondering about Rocky's coverage, because the Rockies had announced that they're going to have a streaming service for $19.99 a month. You can also pair that with MLB TV for more than that. Mm-hmm. And they had not announced an kind of over-the-air, if you will, or other satellite TV.
Traditional television component.
Cable outlets, yes. Well, they did it yesterday.
Oh, okay.
With the announcement that they'll be on Comcast over in the Front Range, Spectrum, and DirecTV. So if you have Dish, you're out of luck. But it'll also be on Fubo as well. But we're going to have the Rockies tonight, tomorrow, and Saturday over on our sister station, The Monkey. Appreciate the folks over The Monkey letting us swing the Rockies over there, because we have the NCAA basketball tournament, Sweet 16, which starts at 4 o'clock today. So 7:30 tonight for the pregame, 7 o'clock tomorrow night, 5:30 on Saturday. And The Monkey here in the Valley, by the way, oldie station here in town, great stuff from the 50s, 60s, and 70s. 95.7 FM in the Valley, 93.5 in Montrose, 97.1 in Delta. So we'll have the Rockies on with Jack and Jerry over on The Monkey. Sunday, we will not have Rockies baseball. I mean, I believe we have the Rockies Cubs coming up on Monday back over here on the team. All right, 8:03. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy today from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. A couple things going from Adam this morning. We hope you guys do not leave us for the mothership. We're talking about Mike DeGeorge going to Cal Poly. I don't think so, Adam.
I think chance is pretty good that we're not going to the mothership.
We're not going anywhere. We're going to be right here until they tell us they don't want us to do this anymore.
I don't really want to move to Connecticut. So there's that part of the whole thing, too.
Oh, everybody's trying to get us jobs. Because so's Robert, who we were having a little lively...
Yeah, we had a pretty good joust.
Joust yesterday, debate about Pete Rose.
Mm-hmm.
As always, day in and day out, the team delivers an excellent, informative, and entertaining fun show. Well, we'd like to think we hit some of those marks.
Informative?
Try to be.
Try very hard to not be informative.
ABC should hire the team for Saturday night's NBA primetime. I truly believe that. JJ and Doris is a fan. I dread their broadcast. Thanks to the wine. Have a grand day. Mm. Robert got the wine yesterday.
Yeah, he did.
From Talon Wine.
Had a good little back and forth yesterday.
Yes. Good little back and forth.
You know, you'd be rewarded occasionally for jousting with us.
Exactly. We don't always give out the wine just to people that agree with us. We like it when there's a lively debate. We always enjoy it.
Usually with me, it's harder to give wine to people who agree with me because not everybody does.
We do on occasion.
Occasionally, but not everybody has the same worldview that I do.
And sometimes that's a really good thing.
Yeah, especially in regards to some of the local teams here in the state, shall we say.
I mean, like your take on the Broncos on occasion?
Yes. My beloved opinions on the Denver Broncos.
Though on some of those opinions, like the Russell Wilson opinion, we do pretty much share that opinion.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, and this is me, diehard, longtime card-carrying member of Broncos country. We agree on that more than
And if you don't think it's entirely Russ's fault, you're going to lose your card.
Apparently so, at least with some anyway.
Yeah.
All right, so coming up, we'll give you a chance to play the Pile's favorite game on a Thursday, which is... Win! So your chance to win a case of New Belgian beer from High Country Beverage in just a little bit. Time right now to go...
The latest on the Broncos and the league. It's Around the NFL on the Jim Davis Show.
All right, so the Broncos have added some wide receiver depth. And a player that I always liked, I never thought that Josh Reynolds was this incredible difference-making, got-to-get-him kind of player. Mm-hmm. But Josh Reynolds that played for the Detroit Lions, the Broncos, according to reports, they have signed him to a two-year deal worth up to $14 million. So with Jerry Jeudy getting traded to Cleveland, Broncos bringing some depth to go with Cortland Sutton, Marvin Mims, which is expected to play a much bigger role in 2024, Tim Patrick, and others like Brandon Johnson. So Reynolds this last year, 608 yards, 40 catches, 5 touchdowns. And, you know, some of the receivers that they, Amon-Ra St. Brown, with Laporta at the tight end spot, you know, there were some other guys kind of gobbling up some catches a little bit. So, but Josh Reynolds still had a really good year. I mean, 5 touchdowns, 608 yards, that's not too bad at all. The yardage total, which he reached on the final drive of the regular season game, was important because it triggered a $250,000 bonus clause.
Sweet. There you go.
To get over 600 yards for the season, got to 608. His total was third highest on the team, by the way. And at the NFL league meetings, Lions general manager out in Florida, Brad Holmes, said that he wanted to resign Reynolds. What up, Holmes?
What up, Holmes?
Holmes telling reporters he's one that was part of the original free agent plans. Still having dialogue. We just kind of have to see where that goes. But that's really the only one that's still out there that we had originally planned so far. Well, apparently, that plan fell through.
That plan now, as it turns out, is done.
Be gone.
Reynolds, 29, claimed in November of 2021 after he was waived by Tennessee and signed a two-year extension with the Lions before the 2022 season. Spent his first 4 years with the Rams. He got selected in the fourth round of the 2017 draft and averaged about 13.3 yards per catch over 7 seasons, leading up to, of course, now this season with the Broncos. It's 2 years, $14 million. Still young-ish, if you will. It's a good piece. Veteran guy, reliable receiver. It's not like he's going to be WR1.
Right. Still looking for one of those.
But he's probably right now, he's your WR2 because Tim Patrick, you can't say that because you don't know.
Yeah.
Where Tim Patrick's at. I mean, he's missed the last 2 years. Marvin Mims, too young at this point in time only his second year to say that he's stepped into that spot. So Josh Reynolds right now, you're probably your second best receiver in that group.
Yeah, because you've got just question marks, like you mentioned with Tim Patrick. You got two WR2s in Reynolds and Cortland Sutton, and then a handful of WR-whos. Like
WR-who's a good way to look at it, yeah.
Just a bunch of guys that none have really separated themselves from any other on the league-wide scale. Like, people here as fans know, like, oh, well, we know Brandon Johnson. Dad played for the Rockies. Marvin Mims. Maybe he's a guy that can scratch out a little bit of touches in the return game.
Yeah, where Marvin Mims is, that's where he could have his greatest impact with the new kickoff rule change. Because he was a Pro Bowler last year as a special teams guy. And in his rookie campaign, that's where you might see him have the biggest impact, potentially.
And that doesn't... To me, that doesn't really speak well for his chances as a wide receiver.
Well, they're certainly hoping that he can have a bigger impact as a wide receiver like he did at Oklahoma.
Yeah, he can't really have a lesser impact next year at the NFL level as wide receiver because he didn't do a whole lot of anything. And for the fact that they were super hot on him coming out of the draft and out of training camp, and for the fact that in big-time situations, he was not near the field, really.
22 catches, 377 yards, 1 touchdown last year. Those are the numbers that he had.
Yeah, and I mean, it was a very pedestrian season.
Yeah, they did not utilize him nearly as much as you would have thought.
Especially with how high they were on him coming out of camp.
You know, from the return standpoint, he had 312 yards, touchdown last season. So he had impact. I mean, he had impact on this team, but not the kind of impact
you would have thought.
You would have thought in talking about what he brought to the table coming out of Oklahoma.
Yeah, exactly.
But the Josh Reynolds deal, it's 2 years, it's $14 million. Pretty reliable receiver through the course of his career.
Kind of low risk, high reward when it comes to the financials anyway.
Absolutely. So smart move by the Broncos. Once again, it kind of fits the low budget, low risk players that they brought in so far, like the Malcolm Roaches, guys like that, Brandon Moore, guys that they brought in so far. Kind of fits that. Also, Broncos are expected to meet with the LSU quarterback, former Heisman Trophy winner Jaden Daniels, that according to the rap sheet, Ian Rappaport of NFL Network, that Denver Gazette's Chris Thomason talked with Daniels' agent, who told him the meeting will happen between the Broncos and Jaden Daniels. He says he expects head coach Sean Payton to be there along with quarterback's coach Davis Webb, but Daniels is not going to work out for them. J.J. McCarthy did in that private workout. Mm-hmm. Daniels will not be doing that, according to this report.
They're not going to draft him, that's probably a good idea for Jaden Daniels. Like, not going to.
No, I'll talk to you. Because
I'm not going to waste the bullets in the gun here, fellas. No offense.
Yeah, because you never know. You never know what's going to happen. But highly unlikely that the Broncos are going to have a shot at Jaden Daniels.
I'm not going to rip my labrum off the bone here.
Throwing for a team that's probably not going to draft me.
Thanks, guys, but I'm good.
Also, a good piece from Nick Cosmender on. And the headline reads, how Broncos and Sean Payton are testing quarterbacks during the NFL draft process. And we've already talked about that a little bit, where Michael Penix Jr. was talking about when he met with Sean Payton at the Combine, how just kind of was just very direct, very blunt, showing bad plays, being critical. And Michael Penix Jr. is like, I'm fine with that. I have to be fine with that. That's the reality of it.
That's the nature of the beast.
And so, but there was a lot made out of that. And Sean Payton at the NFL meetings in Orlando this week, when they took J.J. McCarthy through his paces, even though Sean Payton said he was going to talk about any of the quarterbacks, there he was talking about J.J. McCarthy, said that they sent McCarthy a bunch of information and we made him throw all over again, that they gave him homework and then really put him through his paces. And that's been kind of the approach here. Bo Nix was on The Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox. And the Oregon quarterback said that he asked several questions. He's dry and straight to the point. One of the questions is, Bo, what's your shoe size? I told him I was a 12. He's kind of sizing me up and says, you should probably be wearing a 13 or something. I said, yeah, probably so. But that's just what I wear. I wear a 12. It's been fun to interact with him. And fun to get to know. So he was fighting with him over shoe size? Debating?
They were debating shoe size. But knowing what we know about Sean Payton is now that Bo Nix is not going to be drafted. Because not doing what Sean Payton says to wear 13.
Should have showed up with a 13 the next time.
Now, my question is, I wear a size 12 in Nikes. Bo Nix and I are not built the same.
No.
That's some little feet for a guy that size, right?
Probably, yeah.
Because if I wear 11 and a half, my big toe is running out of room in a good pair of Nikes. Like, the shoes I have on right now are 12s. And they're not snug, but they're comfortable.
But that varies, though.
It varies
from brand to
shoe.
Exactly.
So, but if he's a 12 in a Nike, you want to talk about little hands, that's some little feet. Because I got kind of little feet for my height, and I'm only 5'8".
But do we criticize a quarterback? We criticize hand size.
Yeah.
Ability to grip the football. Mm-hmm. And that's what Kenny Pickett, people make fun of Kenny Pickett because he had small hands. from a throwing platform standpoint, bigger feet, right, gives you a bigger platform, gives you a more stable platform. And I can understand that.
If he is 9 inches taller than I am, he should not have the same size feet. 8, 7 inches.
But like anything, though, hand size, feet size, you can't do, guys can get faster. Guys can get stronger. Mm-hmm. You can't make your feet bigger, and you can't make your hands bigger. And so either you accept the player has those, air quote, physical limitations.
Yeah.
Or because there's no way you can change that.
Right. Such little spikes.
I just find it, but I guess I understand him, Peyton, grilling players on coverages and grilling them on learning plays and being able to learn a play and be able to regurgitate it back very quickly. Those things I get and I understand. Watching a guy throw, watching his mechanics, those kind of things. I'm just not sure criticizing Bo Nix about his shoe size, I don't know how productive that is. I get the other stuff. The other stuff makes total sense to me. It's just interesting that Sean Payton would pick that particular thing. Doesn't sound like they had this lengthy debate about it or anything, but...
Right. But you can hear...
Is it to get in his head a little bit? See how he reacts?
As you read the story, you can hear the red pen screeching across Bo Nix's name on the draft board. He didn't wear 13.
Or is it just to see how he reacts? Is he going to get in his head? Oh, he says he's got little feet. Oh,
since you can't ask players anymore if they're ashamed how their mom made money, since you can't do it, you probably have to kind of work inside the line of insulting questions, and this is probably it. Since you can't do the, are you ashamed of your parents and how they made money when you were a kid? Since you can't do that anymore, you probably have to find a way to annoy them in other ways.
I just think it's a case of Sean Payton trying to get in his head a little bit.
That's what I mean. Like, you got to find a way to annoy him in a different way.
Oh, you got small feet. Wow. You should. Mm-hmm. Really?
You should wear bigger quarterback shoes.
And you got only wear size 12.
Why don't you wear bigger shoes? Well, this is the shoes I wear. All right. We're done here.
We're done.
Okay.
Yeah. It's an interesting approach from Sean Payton on some of these things. Also, odds are out. Chiefs, Ravens, 49ers. Favored to have the best records this season with 11.5 wins. Shocker there.
Yeah. Really caught me off guard with that
water
one.
Water is wet. Sun rises in the east, sets in the west.
Oh, you mean the four teams in the
death comes
the
for us all. And,
games?
Yeah, death comes for us all, and it's tax season, baby.
Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson are going to be pretty good this year.
Yeah, they might be pretty good. Those guys might be okay.
Can you imagine how they came up with that idea?
Mahomes is probably going to throw for over at least 23, 24 touchdowns this year, easily.
By Thanksgiving, probably.
Probably so. Also, NCAA, they want states to ban player prop bets. That the NCAA, because of some of the gambling things that have gone on, that...
Hey, Dante Murray ruining it for... Or Dante Porter ruining it for everybody.
Hey, way to go. Way to go, Dante. Of course, MPJ's brother, by the way.
Yeah.
That the NCAA wants various states where gambling on sports has been legalized to ban all prop bets. Because if gambling interest can sidle up, and this is from Pro Football Talk, to a player, you can tell that's a Florio word.
Yeah, it is.
At the right time, get him to leave a game early with a phantom injury, all the players under props will hit. So that's where the NCAA is trying to get states to drop those.
I like Florio when he has the biggest tinfoil hat in the room. Which is kind of what this is a little bit, but also
a little bit
like Dante Porter's like, you can't, it's not necessarily a conspiracy because he did that allegedly.
There's proof that he did that.
Yeah. It's like, oh, I took the under on myself to the tune of 10 grand and then took myself out of the game because my eye hurts.
Ah, my arm, it's broken. My eye, it's hurt.
He poked me in the eye.
Captain Insano shows no mercy. All right, 8:20, and it's time for...
Put him in the eye!
Sorry, we hit the same thing.
It's okay, let's do that
two
again.
Different things. Yes, who is it up for grabs today? Is a case of New Belgium, courtesy of our friends at Hyatt Country Beverage. For the first correct answer on the team text line, text only, 970-242-1340. If you've won any time in the last 2 weeks, sit it out. If you don't want the prize, sit it out. If you're under the age of 21, it is alcohol, so... go ahead and sit it out as well. Everyone knows the first ever milestones for the Rockies, as it is opening day. Even the milestones for Mile High Field or Mile High Stadium or Coors Field. But I am the first Rockies player to reach base against an American League team. Remember, there was not interleague play for the first handful of years Rockies played in the National League. Who's the first Rockies player to reach base, not get a hit necessarily, but to reach base, period, against an American League team? First correct answer on the text line, 970-242-1340, gets a case of New Belgium, courtesy of our friends, a High Country Beverage. For who is it?
All right, so text or call. Or actually, text, excuse me, no call. Yeah, you no can call. Call, you can text. Call, but not about the answer.
Yeah, you can text. Call. It's just going to ring, ring, ring.
Yeah,
ring,
text
ring.
Your answer in to us. And if you won the last 2 weeks, don't play. But also, I want to remind you that you must be 21. Mm-hmm. That's part of this deal as well. And if you win today, you go into the Never Ending Contest, which you could win from Haining Home Services, new air conditioning for your home.
Sweet.
Swamp cooler, central air, mm-hmm. $5,000. You must own your own home. Go to our website, theteam1340.com.
Do we make the
joke? More details.
That's cool.
If you want to, sure.
Because air conditioning. Yeah,
why did you feel the need to explain that to me?
Just to be safe.
Wow.
Still you
got,
never know.
Still got like another hour and almost hour and 40 minutes.
Yeah, but we only have like 4 shows left together before you go on vacation.
That's true. We're off tomorrow, by the way. We're off tomorrow for Good Friday, by the way. All right, so joining us right now, we have Jim from Horizon Sunrise Rotary, the a la mode sweet and savory experience coming up next Thursday. Chip, appreciate you coming in for a few minutes.
Thanks for having me in.
So a la mode, delectable desserts created by local chefs, and all the proceeds, as I mentioned, benefit Horizon Sunrise Rotary. Give us some of the details about some of the projects that Horizon Sunrise Rotary is typically involved in.
Well, thanks for having me on. So the a la mode event has been going on for the last 12 years, and we've raised over $175,000 just from this event due to the sponsors that have helped with this event. And just to name a few of the companies we've contributed to this year, it's just local nonprofit organizations through their grant requests. Tamarisk Coalition, United Way of Mesa County, D51 Foundation, Riverside Educational Center, and then many more.
Right, so a lot of different local organizations that have benefited from the funding through an event like a la mode. And so it's coming up at the Colorado Mesa Ballroom, the Meyer Ballroom on the Mesa campus Thursday, April 4th, and at 6:30 until 9 o'clock. Tickets are $40 for that. Give us kind of the lay of the land of a la mode and what people can expect when they walk through the doors at the Meyer Ballroom.
You're probably going to just smell sugar right when you walk in the door. Each ticket gets you 2 drink tokens. There's going to be 8 local chefs. They'll also have cheese, meat, and fruit trays, so you're not just focused on sugar. And you can buy the tickets at the door with cash, check, or card, or you can go to our website, which is alamogj.com. If I could name off the 8 chefs, great local chefs, Commons of Hilltop Fountains, Norma Eats, Trail Cookie, My Favorite Muffin, Cupcakes by Natty, Hillbilly Catering, Moonlight Culinary Delights, and Sweet and Simple Cupcakery.
So lots of incredible local bakers, local companies coming in for this. Once again, it's April 4th at the Meyer Ballroom over in the Colorado Mesa campus to benefit Horizon Sunrise Rotary. Jimmy mentioned some of the different groups that you've helped with a la mode, with the funds that come from that. How many people are involved in Horizon Sunrise Rotary?
So our club is around 40 people right now, and we're growing as well. And by the way, I would like to just share with you the sponsors. We have 33 sponsors this year for this event. And some of our top sponsors include FCI Constructors, Oakley Wainbow Keller, ComWest, Bank of the San Juans, High Country Beverage, and St. Mary's Medical Center, to name a few. And, of course, we want to thank you guys for supporting this great event for the last 7 years.
Well, we're glad to be part of it. And once again, you can get tickets at the door the night of the event on April 4th, but also, once again, that website, Jim, if people want to buy tickets
you
online.
Bet. It's alamogj.com. I'll spell it. It's alamodegj.com. And by the way, parking is right off of 12th. The parking garage is right there to get to the event.
All right, very good. And Jim was telling me, Buckeye, he likes Bo Nix over J.J. McCarthy. So
it's because of the size 12s.
It's the size 12s. It's the shoe size. Is that a relatable shoe size, Jim? Is that?
I think that 12 is good.
12 is pretty good. I'd take a 12. I mean, I'm 13, but yeah.
It's got a real 12. First name, too, not just letters.
Yeah, exactly. It's not abbreviated or anything like that. It's Bo. That's his name.
James McCarthy. You couldn't figure out a second J, so they just said name him JJ.
Yeah, we like Bo. Like that name. The name is better. Bo Nix. Nice and short. JJ McCarthy, a little bit long. Short with the initials, long with the last name. Jim, we appreciate it. Thank you so much. And once again, get out and support Alamo coming up next Thursday over at the Meyer Ballroom. Appreciate the time, Jim. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll have our Major League Baseball predictions, Rockies predictions as well for the season. That's coming up next on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
It's a good show.
Probably the best show around.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado Sports Leader, The Team.
Welcome back, 829. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. Most trust name in automobiles. Do we have a winner yet, by the way?
We do.
Oh, wow. That's fast today.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the contest.
It's another winner on the Team Sports Network.
The first Rockies player to ever reach base against an American League team happened on June 12th, 1997, top of the second, a single by the Big Cat. Waylon correctly identifying Andres Galarraga.
All right, very good.
First Rocky to ever reach base against an American League team.
All right, so the season begins with the Rockies tonight when they take on Arizona. And so we got our predictions.
Yay.
Yeah, it's baseball.
Yeah, I love baseball. Yes. You're right.
Yes, well, come on.
Yeah, big fan. Like baseball. At least I like baseball now.
Hope springs eternal.
Yeah. Check with me on May 1st whether I still like Rockies baseball.
Rockies finished second in the Cactus League behind the LA Dodgers.
So break them up.
So I'm trying to be glasses half full.
That's
here.
That's true.
And so, by the way, tonight, once again, we need to remind people, the Rockies will be over on the Monkey 95.7 here in the Valley, 97.1 in Delta, 93.5 in Montrose, tonight, tomorrow, and Saturday. So tonight at 7:30, tomorrow at 7, Saturday at 5:30. We will not bring you Sunday's game on Easter Sunday. Back over on the team with the Rockies and Cubs coming up on Monday. Kyle Freeland, Zach Gallen, your starting pitchers for that one tonight at Chase Field. Got a little music?
I can find something here real quick, maybe. Let me track something down
Major
here.
League,
yeah,
perhaps?
Naturally, Major League. Let me see if I can find the music instead of movie clips, which may or may not be clean. So, ad. Thanks a lot, Google. Why do you got to make money, too?
Well, why don't you just have it in the system, dude? Because that would require some effort? I don't know.
I've learned to stop asking those sorts of questions.
I still have to try. I feel like as a team leader, a motivator, I still have to try to go, why didn't you do it that way?
Yeah.
Why didn't you do that?
That's hilarious.
Let's start out in the American League, shall we? Let's start in the East. Makes more sense.
Yeah.
East to Central to West. I'm predicting, I don't think, this is not going out on a limb.
We did not confer on these
at all.
So
yeah, these are our own picks. We did them by ourselves.
Yep.
I've got Baltimore winning the East this year.
I do too. I won the East last year. 100 wins. Bunch of toddlers.
All that young talent, they added Corbin Burns, which just makes them better. You know, rotations get better when they get Kyle Bradish and John Means back to 100%.
Don't forget, middle of May, they're probably going to add Jackson Holliday, too.
Yeah.
So.
With Rutschman, that group, that's just, to me, they're the favorites to win the East right now.
They have a Rookie of the Year, essentially, in waiting. And two of the top four MVP candidates in the American League because Shohei's now a Dodger.
Can the Yankees make a push? Yes. Soto, Judge, that could be interesting.
Mm-hmm. But are they going to be able to get 140, 150 out of
that's
all
the question.
Of their stars?
And it doesn't help that Garrett Cole's out, mm-hmm. probably out until May.
Nestor Cortez coming off an injury.
Yeah. So I like Baltimore. I think we both agree. Yep. We both like Baltimore. Okay, moving on to the Central. I've got Minnesota.
Yeah, this division sucks. I'm going to go with the Twins, too.
Tigers have got some young talent. Royals spent a lot of money in free agency. But I've got the Twins.
Mm-hmm.
They did see Sonny Gray leave. He was a finalist for the Cy Young. He went to St. Louis in free agency. They've got some injuries. Descafini, Duran, that are out right now. But Minnesota's going to be fine. Carlos Correa. They got Byron Buxton. They're the best team in this division.
No, 100%.
No offense to your Guardians, but they're the best team in this division.
I think the Guardians have the highest ceiling if everybody plays nuts because they have Jose Ramirez and Shane Bieber and guys like that. They just don't have a lot of punch behind those guys. I think the Guardians finish maybe third in this division.
Yeah.
My winner's Minnesota mainly because of the two greatest words in the English language, default. They're the only team that has enough talent to win this division.
And Pecota thinks they'll win more games this year than last year, too.
Yeah, probably, because the White Sox suck.
All right, so we move on to the West. I've got Houston winning the West. They'll keep your eyes on the World Series champion mm-hmm. Rangers, who were a wild card last year, by the way, winning the World Series because of Scherzer, because of the arms that they've got. And obviously the bats they have in that lineup as well. But Houston with Altuve, Bregman, Yordan Alvarez, mm-hmm. Framber Valdez. They got Josh Hader that they've added to that bullpen. I just think the Astros, with Joe Espada, is now the manager with Dusty Baker stepping down. Astros have the talent to win that division.
I agree that they have the talent. I think Texas wins the division. I gave you a Rookie of the Year candidate in Jackson Holliday, also Wyatt Langford for the Rangers in the outfield. He had a fantastic spring. He drove in 20 in spring training. That's a lot.
And I can agree that Texas will be the main contender. Mm-hmm. Seattle's good, and I have Seattle as a wild card.
Yeah.
So I've got Texas, Seattle, and the Yankees as my wild cards.
I have Texas winning that division. My wild cards, Houston, Tampa, and the Detroit Tigers. I think AJ Hinch has them figured out. And for my ALCS, the usual suspects. I have the Astros over the Rays.
I've got Baltimore, Houston.
Yeah, I can see that.
And I've got Houston going to the World Series. All right, let's go to the National League.
Okay.
In the East, your buddy Chris, he'll love this. And sure, he's going to love what you're going to say, too, because I'm going to assume you have the Atlanta Braves winning the East.
Oh, absolutely. They were the best team in baseball for about 5.5 months last year. And they, I think, improved their pitching.
Well, Chris Sale, scary. Who was great in spring for the Braves.
If he's healthy, they could win 110 games this year.
I mean, they added former Rocky Pierce Johnson. That made that bullpen a whole lot better. Then it's all the bats that they have.
They only have 10 guys that can hit 30 home runs.
Yeah. They had a record-setting .501 slugging percentage. They had 307 home runs, which tied a record. Mm-hmm. They've got the pitching. They've got the offense. I've got the Braves. And you got the Braves as well.
They're the team that has the biggest benefit of the universal DH, even more than the Dodgers.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's just the bats that they have. I have Atlanta winning the East.
I've got Chicago winning the Central.
Same.
Cody Bellinger, Player of the Year Award winner, Comeback Player of the Year Award winner. They've added the left-handed starter, the Japanese pitcher that's looked really good in spring training. Craig Counsell's there now as the manager. And he took the Brewers, year in and year out to the postseason.
Yep.
And so I've got the Cubs as my Central Division winner.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to what Shota Imanaga is going to bring Justin Steele's great. Drew Smyly added some veteran help to that rotation. But it's kind of like the American League Central. It's a little bit of default because there's so many question marks. What's St. Louis going to be this year? What's Cincinnati going to be this year? Are they going to be healthy enough to
Pirates
make a run at anything?
Pirates have some young talent.
Pirates are a little young. Milwaukee's really the only threat, but I think Chicago runs away with that division.
All right, so we move on to the National League West. I've got the San Diego. No, I'm kidding.
The Colorado Rockies.
No. It would be the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Yep. Doyers.
For both of us. The Doyers.
The Doyers all the way. They could also win 110 games this year.
I've got some questions about their infield defense. Starting pitching isn't perfect, but man, they've got Shohei, who's not going to pitch at all this year. Mookie, Freddie. That team's really good. But their pitching could be their... Their pitching still is a problem, I think, potentially.
Yeah, it could be, but they could get away with having a starting rotation ERA of 5 just with the way their offense is.
Because the bats, yeah.
Because top of the first, MVP, MVP, MVP. That's going to help in
Betts,
Freeman, Ohtani, whatever order. I have the Doyers taken the West by a lot.
So wild card, I've got Philadelphia, San Francisco, and your runner-up last year, Arizona.
Two of ours are the same. I also have the Phillies. I think they could be sneaky dangerous. I have Arizona as well, and I think Milwaukee sneaks in there as well because I think the rest of the East is just going to beat up on each other. I don't think they get 3 teams in. Same with the West. And so I think it's 2 for each division, and our NLCSs are the same.
Yeah, I just think the Giants have added greatest third baseman ever, Matt Chapman.
Oh, true. Like to back to the Bay Area where he
Jorge Solar, Blake Snell. They hired Bob Melvin.
Yeah.
I just think that the Giants can't fall asleep on the Giants. So for my wild cards, once again, Philadelphia, San Francisco, Arizona, NLCS, I've got Atlanta and LA, and I've got Atlanta beating Houston in the World Series.
Same. I have the Braves beating the Astros.
So for our Rockies predictions.
Yes.
I've gone back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Dakota has them at 59.
Yep.
I'm going to give them 64.
Oh, you're a little under what I feel.
I'm going to give them 64.
You got 64 and 98. I have all the same numbers, just in a different order. I think 68 and 94.
Okay.
They feel 68-ish. With a good weekend, they get the bottom of a rotation, they could win 7.
Best hitter, I've got Ezekiel Tovar.
Oh, that's a good one. I'm going Nolan Jones. I think he has a breakout season. Full year at the thin air, I have Nolan Jones as their best hitter.
I'm going to have, as my best pitcher, retread from your club.
Oh.
I'm going to go Cal Quantrill.
Oh, look at you.
Emerges as the Rockies' most consistent best pitcher in 2024.
I'm going to go with the old hand, the local kid, opening day starter. I think Kyle Freeland.
Returns to form. I wanted to go with Kyle Freeland.
Ish.
I think he does return somewhat to form. I'm still skeptical, though.
Oh, yeah.
Quantrill's look good in spring training, but so is Kyle Freeland, too.
Yeah. This could go exactly how we say, and it could go way, way haywire.
All right, so those are our predictions. Locked in for the 2024 Major League Baseball
it's
season.
Saved.
So don't forget that we'll have the Rockies and the Diamondbacks tonight from Chase Field over on the Monkey, 95.7 here in the Valley, 97.1 in Delta, 93.5 in Montrose with Jack and Jerry. All right, 8:42 coming up next. It's time for our Rick Nelson American Family Insurance Team's Team of the Week. That's on the way on the Jim Davis Show.
Good morning, gentlemen. What are the haps?
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team. It's the team's team of the week on the Jim Davis Show.
And it's brought to you by Rick Nelson and American Family Insurance. For a free comparison, call this team of licensed professionals at 970-241-0078. Our team's team of the week is the Montrose Redhawks girls soccer team. Off to a sensational start this season. The Montrose girls coming off a win over Grand Junction the other day. They're 5-0-1. They're 1-0-1 in Southwestern League play, and joining us on the team line this morning to talk about the Redhawks' start to the season. Their head coach, Matt Imus, along with goalie Rachel Roebuck and center midfield Mia Duncan joining us this morning. Matt, Rachel, and Mia, thanks for coming on for a few minutes this morning.
Thank you for having us and having this honor.
Well, we appreciate you coming on and being our team's team of the week. Sensational start, Matt, for your team at, as I mentioned, 5-0-1 overall, 1-0-1 in the Southwestern League, and a really good performance against Grand Junction in Southwestern League play the other day with a 3-1 victory. And prior to that, you also had a win against your Highway 50 rival, Delta, with a 2-1 victory. You beat Roaring Fork 3-0 in this three-game winning streak, had the tie with Fruta Monument before that. So kind of take us through the start of the season and the things you've liked about your soccer team so far.
We returned a lot of girls that had a lot of experience playing last year. We did lose a lot of seniors, but the girls that have jumped in coming up from JV and then the returners from varsity last year have done are just a great job of stepping up, doing a little bit of a different formation for us, just playing a three-back, trying to get a little bit more offensive. And the girls have done a great job of pressing and a lot of great passes, working with each other. A lot of them have played for a long time with each other, so they know kind of where everybody else is going to be going and anticipating where those runs are going to be. And then we've stepped it up, and I think Rachel's only given up two goals. Our defense has only given up two goals all season.
And Rachel Roebuck joins as senior goalkeeper for the Montrose Redhawks soccer team. And Rachel, as Coach Imus mentioned, you've only given up a couple goals this season. Your mates have played well in front of you. Kind of take us through what you've seen from them and the job they've done in terms of making your life a whole lot easier between the pipes for this team.
Yeah, that's true. It's definitely been great defensively so far this season. I think we've had our younger girls really step into that defensive line, which is not an easy task. But they've been able to, like, make my job so much easier just because, like, their communication skills and their willingness to just try the new positions and try to listen to the feedback we have, like, within the game, at halftime, after the game. I think everybody on the team is really motivated to also, like, look at the film from our games, look at the film for other teams, and just really, like, driven to, like, compete well this year. And I think that's given us a really, like, good advantage and a good start to our season.
So some experience there, but really good communications helped. And Rachel, for you individually, what are some things maybe you focused on, worked on in terms of preparing for the senior season, trying to make obviously a push for the playoffs, maybe a Southwestern League title as well in the mix for this the soccer team? What are some things you've tried to do to get ready for the season as this team's goalie?
Yeah, I think, like, it's a different role as the goalie. Like, I can focus on my fitness and I can focus on my skills, but I think for me, one thing I really try to focus on is just making everybody feel, like, excited for the season. Like, I think a lot of our girls can get really in their head, but I think I want to help the team to see, like, that we have a lot of great potential and a lot of really good players. So I think that's something I've tried to take on to help the team prepare. And I think, like, beyond that, like, everybody always tries to be, like, in shape coming into season, and I think that makes a big difference too.
It's our team's team of the week with the Montrose Redhawks girls soccer team. Coach Matt Imus with us, also goalkeeper Rachel Roebuck, and center midfield Mia Duncan, senior for this team, that has seven goals. And Mia, you're tied with your sister Ellie, the junior, at least according to Max Preps, and sometimes Max Preps isn't always accurate, but you both have seven goals in the season, so you have a nice little sibling rivalry going on in terms of the goal-scoring lead for the Redhawks.
Yeah, I think of it less so as a rivalry. We really try to set the whole team up for success, and while the goals are great, I think it's great to have a good team around me that sets me up to score these amazing goals. It's there for me to pass the ball and to give them an assist. So I think it's more of a team effort than what it looks like on Max Preps, for sure.
Yeah, you have six assists this season to lead your team. So not just scoring the goals, as we referenced, but also been doing a good job setting up your teammates as well. And mentioned that Ellie's got the seven goals, four assists. But Macy Oberg, that we know from the basketball program, the sophomore, she's got four goals this season. And Macy brings all that success from the hardwood, from the basketball team, from that grade eight run to you as this soccer team. What kind of, what does she do in terms of providing goal scoring and just another really athletic player on your team?
Macy's been pretty essential to our team this year. I'd say she's done a really good job of being a very physical athlete on the field and has really stepped into multiple roles as a striker and as a midfielder that I think sometimes can get taken for granted, but I think she's played an essential role in kind of our off-ball movement and the way that we move the ball up the field.
Go back to Matt Imus. Yolanda Almanza is one of your top goal scorers this season as well. She's obviously not with us on the program today, but can talk about her a little bit because she's made some pretty significant contributions, had a couple of goals the other day in that win against Grand Junction.
Yuli is doing a great job. She's a junior. She had a lot of experience playing up with us last year as well, and she's been playing on the wing and up at striker, and if she gets any space, she's got a great leg and can put the ball on frame. And so she had some great opportunities yesterday or Tuesday where she just received the ball, turned, and got a great shot on goal.
Well, coming up for your team, Matt, you've got Durango. They're 1-1 right now, always a really competitive team in the Southwestern League. So a big league matchup coming up for your soccer team coming up tomorrow when you take on Durango.
Yeah, it'll be a definite dogfight, especially down there. They're a very good team. They return a lot of girls. Their JV program is always really strong, so they always bring up replacements. So they're not really ever rebuilding. They're just getting new girls into different positions. So, and then, Jim, we also celebrated Mia's signing with Fort Lewis yesterday as well.
Well, congratulations, Mia. Can it kind of take us through that decision to sign to play soccer with the Fort Lewis Skyhawks?
Well, initially I was actually set to play in England, and things obviously don't always work out as planned, and I ended up deciding that Fort Lewis is a better home for me for the next 4 years. I really like their program. I've played with a few of the girls that play there now, and I enjoy their team culture. I enjoy the environment in Durango. So,
well, congratulations on signing with Fort Lewis College. Beautiful campus, great town as well. So a perfect place to go and be part of their soccer program. So before we let you guys go, got to ask you a couple things here, mostly for Rachel and for me, about your teammates. Which teammate has the worst singing voice? Which one has the best singing voice? Because I imagine somebody likes to belt out a tune once in a while on the bus, practice. Anybody fit that? Does nobody sing on your team at all?
Yeah, so the main person that sings on the team is actually Mia, so I'm going to go ahead and give her best and worst singing voice. She's singing a lot of the time on the bus.
Okay, so Mia, what do you feel like she said best and worst. Do you feel like you got some really good pipes? I mean, is that an unfair?
I think that I sound really good, especially when the radio's on really, really loud.
That's when I sing my best too, when the radio is really, really loud. Yeah, that's my wife about that when I'm singing in the car. Yeah, when it's really loud, I'm at my very, very best. So what do you like to sing? And just whatever comes on the radio? Do you have a little favor, like maybe some Taylor or I don't know, anybody you like to sing along with the most?
I really, really like bumping to Macklemore on the way to games.
Okay, that's solid, yeah. Yeah, Macklemore played here in Junction several years ago over at CMU, yeah. I like that. Very good. Who's the biggest comedian kind of goofball on the team?
Jim, you're asking the right questions. That would be Mia again.
Okay. So we've got the main culprit, the main one, the best worst singer and the biggest goofball. So Matt, I have to ask you, are there times that you're happy she's kind of a goofball? And other times it's like, you need to knock it off, Mia. We got work to do here. We got training to do.
No, as much as a goofball as she is at times, she is very focused and locked in during practice and when need be. You know, as we get ready as on road trips and as they're having their fun on the bus and singing, you know, the last 15, 20 minutes before we get to a game, it's back down to normal and focusing on what we've got at hand and the tasks going through.
All right, very good. Well, guys, we appreciate it. And Matt, congratulations to you and your wife. Going to add to the Imus family. Going to have another future, maybe soccer player, another athlete playing at Montrose High School. So congratulations on another child coming up for you guys in a couple of weeks.
Great. Thank you. Yeah, I'll be driving to most of our games for the next couple of weeks until that baby comes.
Absolutely. Well, good luck with that. And once again, Rachel, Mia, and Matt, we appreciate you guys coming on today. Good luck against Durango coming up tomorrow. We appreciate the time.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for the honor.
Thank you. All right. Our team's team of the week brought to you by Rick Nelson, American Family Insurance. For a free comparison, call his team of licensed professionals at 970-241-0078.
You can hear when they laugh like that, whoever is going to be blamed is in the room.
Yeah,
like, who's the worst singing voice? And they laugh. You're like,
it's you.
Which one of you is it?
Yeah, that was great. Really enjoyed that. Montrose Redhawks girls, our team's team of the week. We'll take a break. We'll come back with hour three.